accession number 20886, reel 1.
Captain Bryson, reel 1.
Where were you born, please?
I was born in Liverpool.
Which year was this?
1925.
Did both your parents come from Liverpool as well?
Yes, both parents came from Liverpool.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Liverpool?
No. When I was 9 months old, I went over to live in Port Sunlight on the Wirral. My father, who used to go to sea, he got the dockmaster's job at Bromborough Dock for Lever Brothers. And that was when I was 9 months old. And we moved over there to Port Sunlight.
Which school did you go to in Port Sunlight?
Church Drive School until I was 11. And then Woodall Grammar School in Bebbington from 11 to 16.
So you left the grammar school during the war?
Yes, 1941.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
I did. I was sitting in the room with my mother, because my father unfortunately died in 1935 when I was 10. But I was with my mother when war was declared.
Did you have any feelings about it at that age?
Not really. The only thing was that I wanted to go to sea because my father went to sea. That was my ambition, to go to sea. I wanted to go to sea as a cadet. And when it came to me leaving school, my mother finally agreed that she would let me go. This was in 1941. And I was indentured to Atheline on November the 1st, 1941.
Before that, had you been in any bombing by the German Air Force?
Yes, the school was bombed, and we also had two bombs in the actual road I lived in Port Sunlight.
Can you describe those bombings, please?
Well, we were all sitting under the table. My two sisters and myself and my mother. And this was about 11 o'clock at night. And we heard the planes and the guns going, and all of a sudden we heard this whistling sound, and whichever plane it was dropped three bombs, and there was two landed actually in the road we lived in, and the third one landed in the road the other side of a bowling green, which was at the top of our road.
What was your address at that time?
3 Pool Bank, Port Sunlight.
And what was the other road you mentioned?
Circular Drive was where the other bomb dropped. It dropped on a Sefton's newsagent.
Were there casualties?
Yes. In our road, there was 5 people killed. And in the Circular Drive one, there was another 2.
How frightening was that for you?
Well, not very, because I, when the war started and they formed the LDV, I went and told them I was a bit older than I was, and I got a job as a dispatch rider for the LDV. First of all, I'd been to the civil defence, but the civil defence wouldn't take me because I was too young. So I went to the LDV and they took me on, and I used to spend some nights in the barracks in Bebbington. And then when I was about 14 and a half, 15, I managed to get into the civil defence as a dispatch rider. And we used to sleep in the police station in New Ferry when we were on duty. And, of course, when the raids came on, And any dispatches to be sent, we took them.
Was this on a pushbike?
On a pushbike, yes.
Any experiences you had as a dispatch rider?
Not really. I was never near any bombs that actually dropped. I was nearer at home on this night when the bombs actually dropped in the road than I was on any other occasion.
What damage was done to your school?
Well, the main hall was hit. That was the assembly hall. And the canteen was damaged. But broken windows in the classrooms, but they soon boarded them up and, you know, got us back to school.
Can you tell me about joining Merchant Navy, please?
Well, with my father going to sea, it was always my ambition to go to sea. And so, when I was 16, I applied, wrote to different companies to try and get a job as a cadet apprentice deck officer. Because my father was on deck, his master at sea. And in the end, I went for a couple of interviews, and in the end, I got in with the Athol Line, and they agreed to take me on. And so they gave me, sent my indentures for me to sign, my mother to sign, and she agreed, she signed them as well. And it also had to be signed, they also had to be signed by a minister of the religion, or a policeman, or somebody else witnessed. And so I went and down to the minister, and was a Rev Webster, and he wouldn't sign them at first, and he came up, he said, I'll come up and see your mother to make sure that my mother wanted me to go, would let me go. And so my mother said, yes, he can go. And that was it. He witnessed it, and the signatures, and that was it. And my indentures were signed November the 1st, and I joined my first ship on November the 4th.
Whereabouts?
In Camelherd's dry dock, number 6 dry dock, Camelherd's.
This is Birkenhead?
Birkenhead.
What kind of a ship was it?
Tanker.
Called?
The Athol Viking. She was, what, about 8,000 odd ton. Built in 1925, same year as I was born. But and my first job on the ship was to go up the mainmast, which is right to the top. And there was a block there where the barrage balloon wire used to go. And it had come loose and was swinging. And so the mate, the chief officer, told me to go up there and lash it. And of course, I'd never climbed outside before. And I climbed right up and up to the top. And at the top, it was only a wire ladder on the topmast and a steel ladder on the mainmast. But just a wire, and I climbed up and looked down. And of course, the deck was about 80 foot below. And then I looked a bit further, and there was another 30 or 40 foot down to the dry dock. So I did it. I was all right. I lashed it and came down. But that was the first job I ever had at sea.
And then?
Well, we sailed out into the river, and we actually sailed from Liverpool on November the 5th. And when I had joined the ship, I was one of the superintendents out the office, jokingly, I suppose, asked me, had I ever been to New York? And so I said, no. And so he said, well, that's where you're going now. But I didn't reach New York until about 2 years and 2 months later. When we got over on the in the convoy, across towards New York, we were told to and break off from the convoy and proceed down to Aruba.
By yourself?
By ourselves. And from Aruba, we went to Trinidad. We loaded in Aruba and took it to Trinidad, went back to Aruba, and then went across to Freetown, West Africa. And we discharged in Freetown over the new year, 1941-42. But then we went across back to Venezuela, all on our own. And while we were going across back to Venezuela, we saw a ship on the horizon. And of course, everybody was on the lookout for what sort of a ship it was. And we could see that it was a cruiser. And so there was a bit of a panic. This was on a Sunday night, just about tea time. Anyway, the cruiser came up and eventually sent the code signal that we knew, and it was the Dutch cruiser Curaçao. So of course everybody, but he'd been following us with his guns all the time, has he? And then we went to Venezuela. We loaded in Venezuela, went back to Curaçao, and then Curaçao we went to Trinidad back to Aruba, and from Aruba we went through the Panama Canal and across to New Zealand. We were on our own all this time. There was no convoys or anything. And we went from Panama Canal to New Zealand, to Wellington, New Zealand, and then discharged there and back to San Pedro in California, Long Beach. And that was our regular run then for, we did about 6 or 7 trips on that, all without convoy. We weren't in convoy at all.
What was the reason you were sailing singly?
Well, I suppose I don't know really. They didn't have enough ships, I suppose, to make up a convoy, to put the escorts, or they didn't have enough escorts to give a convoy, because the Americans, of course, were in the war by this time, and they were all involved north of us, where we were. So we used to go down south and then come up to around Chatham Island and then up to Wellington. And we'd discharge in Wellington. We'd have about 5 or 6 days in Wellington and then back to San Pedro again. And load up, or any repairs, we'd get them done there. And we did that about 5 or 6 times. There was one time we were in there. We went in dry dock in San Pedro. And they put a deck, like a flight deck, on us, which level with the flying bridge. And on there, they used to load these ducks and trucks and planes, because, of course, they're all space cargo, and there wasn't much weight in it. And so we could carry quite a bit of this light cargo of trucks and planes and DUKWs. And we used to take those down to Wellington. And the last trip, we went to Auckland, New Zealand. Just the one trip to Auckland. And then we went back to San Pedro. We loaded again and we went round to Melbourne, Australia. And we discharged cargo there, and there was talk about us loading grain. We had to clean the tanks out for grain, but that was cancelled, and we were sent light ship up the Persian Gulf to Bandar Abbas. And The day before we got in Bandar Abbas, about just 8:15 in the morning, the third mate had just relieved the second mate, and fortunately he saw the tracks of two torpedoes coming at us. And we were on a zigzag, of course, because we knew there were submarines in the waters up there, and we had a zigzag course to follow. And the submarine must have followed us and got the zigzag over the 2 or 3 hours, found out what the zigzag was and caught us. But the third mate, as I say, saw the torpedoes coming, and he went hard a port, and the forward torpedo, he said it went under the bow because we were a light ship and we'd pumped all our ballast out because we were going up to Aberdeen to load. And the other torpedo went past the stern by about 30, 40 yards astern of us. And so he saved the ship, really, when he saw the torpedoes and took the action to avoid them. We sent a message saying we'd been attacked, but the planes didn't come out until about 3 hours later. And that was in, could you pass me that?
Well, so we can look it up later, just go from memory.
Oh, just the date, I was just thinking of the date.
1942?
No, that was 1943. That was about October, I think it was. September or October, 1943. Anyway, we loaded oil again there, and we went back down to Bandar Abbas, and they formed a convoy in Bandar Abbas to take us round to Suez. And there was quite a few ships from the Persian Gulf, and so they formed a convoy and went in convoy from the Persian Gulf round to Suez. And then through Suez, we went to Alexandria. And we were in Alexandria for a few days. And then we went in convoy again to Sicily, to Augusta. It was just after the Italians had thrown their hand in. The Allies had just landed across from Sicily and shot across to Bari, the troops, and we went to Augusta in Sicily, and then from Augusta up to Taranto. We were in Taranto, and while we were there, first night we were there, the Germans raided Bari and sank all the ships. They sank, and there was one had mustard gas on it. And the sailors are all tied up alongside of one another. And we were tied up in Taranto, and we're discharging and loading in over the side to ashore, and also fueling naval vessels on the outboard side. Well, the first day, the destroyers that had taken a convoy were coming back with all the wounded seamen that had jumped in the water, and they were all burnt and that. We were lifting them up, and our deck was like a landing platform for them, all in stretchers. We must have had a couple of hundred on board at one time. And then as we'd put them on our flight deck, as we used to call it, the ambulances would come up the jetty on the other side, and they'd take them away on the other side. There was a tanker hit there, and all their faces were burnt, and there's quite a few died on the deck, lying on the deck.
Did anybody know any first aid?
Well, they were under the army. The army were in charge, and the navy It was the destroyers that were bringing them in, and they were just using us as a platform so the ambulances could come up on the quay and take them to hospital.
Where was this?
This was in Taranto, Italy, about the 5th, 6th of December. Then we finished discharging. Oh, another incident that happened in Taranto was we had HMS Achilles on alongside, and we'd been bunkering her. And in the Athelion, they didn't carry pumpmen. The apprentices, cadets, did all the pumping of the cargo. Well, I'd been up a long time with all these ambulance cases on. We were all helping there. And then when that quietened down, we had the Achilles came alongside to bunker. Well, of course, being the pumpman apprentice sort of thing, I was the only one aboard the ship. We sailed from Liverpool with two, but one was taken off, and the senior apprentice, he was near the end of his time, and he was taken off and appointed third mate while we were in San Pedro one time. So I'd been on my own on the ship for well over a year then as apprentice. And as I say, we bunkered the Achilles, and I went in my room, which was forward on the starboard side, right on the side of the ship. That's where the apprentice's alleyway was. It had two rooms, a mess room, a bathroom and a toilet, and it took the whole of the starboard side of the main deck on the bridge, midships. And I went and lay down on my settee to try and get a bit of sleep. And I heard the siren on the Achilles go, the whoo, 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 whoo. And I just pretended to be asleep. I thought, well, the mate's going to come and get me out too. You know, let go of the ship. And I just lay there and had eyes closed. And the next thing was the Achilles opened up with their guns. Well, I went up horizontally and nearly hit the deckhead, because it was only the bulkhead between me and the Achilles. And I dashed out, grabbed my life jacket, dashed out, and we had a coir mat runner in the alleyway, and I was in the top room, and my feet were going so fast that I couldn't move. The coir mat was just bundling up, and when I finally had bundled all the mat up, my feet touched the deck, I managed to get away and out. And what had happened, the Germans had tried to do the same thing to Taranto that they'd done to Barry a couple of nights previously, but they didn't get away with it. There was quite a lot of ships, naval ships in Taranto, and they all opened fire, and the merchant ships opened fire, and they dropped bombs, but there was no ships were hit or anything. Then we sailed from Taranto again in convoy, and we were supposed to be bound to Liverpool. And so, of course, everybody on the ship was quite excited going home. We'd been away over 2 years then. And when we got to Gibraltar, the signal station called us up and asked the master if he'd had enough bunkers to get him to New York. So, of course, the master had to reply yes, because we had. But what he didn't say was we didn't have much food and water on board. So anyway, we got told to, it was only the bunkers that they were worried about, and we got told to rejoin the convoy, proceed New York. So of course everybody was down in the dumps then, because we thought we'd been going home, we weren't. Anyway, we got to New York, in the January. And all the crew then paid off because they'd been on 2-year articles. And all the crew paid off. But, we had Christmas dinner going across was a small piece of pork about 2 inches round, 2 tinned potatoes and a few peas. And that was our Christmas dinner on that, going across to New York. And that was 1943, Christmas. And that was the third Christmas we'd been away. It was 41, 42 and 43. And we got to New York and they paid the crew off because they were all on articles. But I was apprenticed to the company and I wasn't signed on the ship. Apprentices didn't sign on the ship. And so I was told to stay. And they got a new crew, complete new crew. They'd sent over some of the company had sent over some of their officers. And we signed on a complete new crew in New York. And it was only me that was left aboard the ship. And I wasn't very happy about that, I can tell you. But it didn't go on much longer because we went down to Cuba and cleaned tanks, loaded molasses, and then we went across to what was the name of the place in Miami, in Florida, Key West, no, not Key West, it was North Key West.
Miami?
No, North Miami. It's on that sheet of paper anyway. But and then we went back to New York. Got a convoy from there and went back up to New York. And then we came home in a convoy, New York to Liverpool. We arrived in Liverpool about March 15th or something, 1944. I had a bit of leave then, and then I rejoined the same ship, the Atle Viking, in Birkenhead, and went down to South Africa. Went to Durban, Cape Town, and then Durban. And we loaded in Durban. We'd gone down in convoy as far as Freetown, and then we were on our own from Freetown round to Durban. And on the way back, we loaded molasses in Durban. Then we came back up to Birkenhead again. And we called in at Freetown and waited for a convoy. And the convoy brought us back up to Liverpool. We had two apprentices that trip, and I was the senior one. The junior one went ashore, home, and he was supposed to come back on the Sunday. We were having 8 days in the port, and I was supposed to go home, no, on the Saturday. He was supposed to come back on the Saturday, and I was supposed to go on leave on the Saturday. But he didn't come back. And on Sunday morning, I just got out of my bunk, 7 o'clock, and the superintendent was there from Atheline. He came aboard about 7:30 and told me to pack all my bags and get across to Hull and join the Empire Flint. So I didn't get any leave at all, and across on the train, join the Empire Flint at Hull.
Before we talk about Empire Flint, how nervous were you going to sea in the war in a tanker?
Not really, no. You didn't think about it a lot. It It frightened us a bit when we were attacked up the Persian Gulf. I felt a bit afraid then, but otherwise it didn't worry me, because all I wanted to go to sea for was as a career. I didn't go to